Okay, the first thing I want to do actually is to engage in some what Click and Clack called mindless self-commercialism. I want to just put a little plug in for this book I just published. And the reason I want to is because I actually didn't write this book. This is a collection of memoirs that I found when I was doing a book on GIs in Normandy called What Soldiers Do. And I found some incredible eyewitness accounts of Normandy from the French perspective. And I do know people have taught it. I have a very loose narrative, and it is about children. Many of the themes that these people have talked about before, how children saw the GIs. And I actually wrote this book or put these memoirs together because when I get to the Second World War, it's very hard to find for undergraduates something which gets them out of Normandy as a GI experience. So this is going to be out in paper. It's very cheap. It's a Kindle book, and it's really for you. That's why I wrote it, so that undergraduates have an alternative to Band of Brothers, something that actually sees the invasion from the French perspective. Oh, it's called D-Day Through French Eyes. I'm so bad at this, obviously. Okay, title is D-Day Through French Eyes. Okay, I'm going to tell you about a project that I did in the fall of 2013. I can bear absolutely no responsibility for this project. It just happened. I'm going to tell you how it happened. And I would like to continue it. This is History 357, the University of Wisconsin-Madison. You can see that the W is prominent, as usual. It was in this class, which is about the Second World War, that the APNL project happened. History 357 is just basically a survey about the war. I do some Southeast Asian parts of the war, but it's mostly on Europe. And I'm not quite sure why I was the one who got this email, perhaps because of my book. I received this email from a Monsieur Joël Huo, who lives in APNL. Bonjour, madame. And basically, what this was about was that he had just signed on to be a parrain of a young soldier who died in France named Robert Kellett. And he was a soldier from Wisconsin. And he wanted to know, as you can see, a little bit about the soldier, but also he wanted to connect with the family of the soldier. It's a lovely, lovely email. So I translated it to my students. I thought, oh, this would make a really great, extra credit project, right, for some kid. I said, so who would be interested? The class of 70, every kid in the room raised their hand. And it was actually a very moving moment, I have to say. So I wrote back Monsieur Huo, and I said, I think we need more names, okay? He got in touch with a woman named Jocelyne Papillard, who is running this parrainage program at the APNL Cemetery. And basically, you godfather a grave, which means you clean it, you keep it clean, you put flowers on it, and you visit it once a month just to pay your respects to the American soldiers who died on French soil. So I received from Jocelyne, and she's an amazing character in the story that I'll tell you all about in a minute, 35 names. And they were all young men from Wisconsin. Okay, and we made it a class project. So they worked in teams. The only selection process was if the student had a hometown in Wisconsin and the soldier was from that hometown, we put those people together. And that actually happened a lot. So this project worked particularly well for a public university, right, that has a very large population of in-state students. So the other thing I did quite soon on is I tried to find out I know a little bit more than the average person about dead bodies because I actually am interested in that, and I've done some research on that. So I called the National Archives, and they led me, and I finally got a hold of this amazing woman named Corinne Hagen. She was in charge of a series of files, every soldier who died in the European theater, and really in the United States military overseas, has what's called an IDTP file, which is an individual deceased personnel file. And I'll show you one in a minute. And she said, sorry, but it takes 6 months to get these. And I said, well, you know, it's midterm. I have 7-8 weeks. She ended up getting them in 4 weeks for us. So she was another hero. So how did I get all the students interested? Here she is, Jocelyne Papillard, and she is quite the bourgeois. She has a Chanel bag, which she claims is a knockoff, but I don't believe it for a second. I totally adore this woman. And here's the IDTP file, and you can see there's so many interesting things that happen on these files. I wish I could spend more time with them. I'm certainly happy to share them with anyone. But they basically tell how the person died, the religion. You can see Arnold Schmall was Jewish, where they're buried, and a lot of information. Then it also had letters from the parents, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. So how did I get students interested in this? This is what happened. We ended up writing this book, and I'll show it to you in a minute. I'm just giving you an overview. So the first thing I had to do was to tell the students a little bit about the project, since we were going to do it as an extra credit class project. So I showed them where Epinal was on a map. Okay, that was one thing. Then Jocelyne sent this picture to me. This was actually one of my favorite moments in the project because this was a recent parrain. I ended up meeting him. So I show this to the students, and there's this incredible silence, you know. So I said, well, what's the problem? You know, nobody was talking. And I think, my students are from Wisconsin. They've never, many of them, never left the state of Wisconsin. And I think they had this image of a Frenchman as like this really sexy young thing, you know? And so I said, well, what's the problem, you know? And one of the students finally said, you know, Professor Robbins, he looks like he could be from Green Bay. It was really a great moment. So getting them to like believe that these are real people in Epinal was a bit of a challenge. But they did learn something really important, which is that there are normal looking people in France. So here is Robert Kellett. This is the person who, we ended up, and this is so exciting, we ended up actually connecting with his family. We found his family. So this is one of the great things about doing a in-state is that you have all these resources that you can use. So just some of the resources we use, because I'm hoping to get you interested in this project. First of all, students went to the library, okay? And they went to the Veterans Museum in Madison, and they went to the Historical Society, where we have an extraordinary collection of local papers. So they learned how to do research. They went into the town local paper and saw obituaries. That was one of their first, you know, steps. They went to the Veterans Museum and found lots of stuff. We had an audit. Wisconsin has this system where anyone over 65 can audit a class for free, and we had the amazing Joyce Steinberg, who falls into the category of what we call a bossy German in Wisconsin, but she knew genealogy, and she got them all interested in Ancestry.com and showed them how to use it, which we had in the library. So Joyce made a huge contribution. She was a woman who needed a project, and she got one. So I'll tell you a few of the things that they did. Okay, here's Kellett's family. We put them in touch, which was really wonderful. Hello, they have now met. So that was a wonderful success story. But I just, some of the things, okay, first of all, the students are so way ahead of us in terms of web research, you know, that they thought of things that I never would have thought of. They found so many interesting things about these people. But I really love this. This was another name we gotten, and it was Milwaukee. He was from Milwaukee, and a kid from Milwaukee on Thanksgiving break went and photographed his home where he had been. And I thought that was just a very touching thing to see the house where he lived and grew up, so that was one thing. And the other, I mean, I could talk about this forever, but this was a really interesting thing too, which is I had one student named Charles Shellpepper who's looking for a job, and he was a veteran of Iraq, and so he was a little older, and he was a medic in Iraq. And so the IDTP files arrive literally the last week of classes, you know, and Corrine moved mountains to get these things. And when they arrived, they were so incredibly excited. It was the first time they'd actually seen a document, many of them. And I remember having a conversation with Charles about his particular file, which was, I can't remember his name, Hinrichs, that was it. Okay, on Friday night, and exams start on Saturday, we are emailing back and forth about this file because I saw it too. And he realizes, and I had read it, that Hinrichs was a medic. And I don't know how he figured that out, but he did. He figured it out. So this kid was reading into this file in a way I could never have done it. I was so impressed with that. And then in his page in the book, he took a picture of himself in Iraq. And, you know, he ended with this really beautiful phrase: "I honor and respect the sacrifice made by Private First Class Hinrichs. Having been a combat medic myself, I understand the danger and responsibility that comes with being a medic on the battlefield. Although I never knew Hinrichs, his service inspires me." And then "Soldier, Medic, Warrior, Spirit" was his slogan in Iraq. So amazing, wonderful things happened in this project. So the second phase was that I was in France in January. And here again is the IDTP. And again, I'm happy to go over those with you. Again, the letters of the parents. After Schmal died, his father, August, corresponded with the Quartermaster General's office to recover Arnold's personal effects and to learn how Arnold had died. So the IDTP file will have all the letters from the parents about how they want the body to be taken care of, whether they want it sent back to the United States, which was very expensive, or to be interred in France. Okay, so this is after 15 weeks of, you know, death and torture and atrocities, right? And anyone who's taught the war knows that after a while, like, it becomes a numbing. There's a numbing effect there. But these files, especially these letters from the parents, just made it hit home. Really did. It was amazing. So, "Oh, what pain it was." This is his father. "When I received the news about my son, this young man would not even hurt a worm. What I would like to know now, were there any last words before his death? So please me now." You know, something about this from a kid who was from the same hometown as one of my students, that's going to hit home in a way nothing else is. So the second part, sorry, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, is that I was in France in January for a month. And so I decided I would go down and I would actually present in person the book that we produced on a very small budget, okay? And so there was first of all, we arrive in the APNL station and it starts to snow. And it was just magical because if you come from Wisconsin, you know where it snows all the time. You know, it was just lovely that it started to snow. It was almost like the Wisconsin boys were welcoming us. This is Joël Huot, by the way, is a very good painter. He has a website. Okay, I had to promise him I would buy one of his paintings, which of course I forgot to do when I got home. So here's the whole crew. There was this little, you know, there were about 30 people waiting for us. And so there's Jocelyne, there's me, and then the person on the left with the blue coat is the person who manages the cemetery, Todd Anderson. Whatever you do, if you go, don't take his tour, because especially on a cold day, you know, I'm such a superficial person, I almost ruined my Italian boots. I was very upset about that. But it's, you know, it's a boring tour. And there's Hue. And the, you know, the funny thing about the flowers, okay, so I realized, I had a moment when I realized, okay, I have been teaching at a public university facing budget cuts too long, because when we talked about the flowers, the intention was to put a flower on every grave that the students had honored, and then I take a picture and I send, you know, the picture to the student, which I did. But when we're talking about the flowers, I thought, oh my God, you know, like, she wanted to do long stem roses. I was thinking, you know, 30 long stem, oh my God, I can't afford that. I'll never be able to get the money for it. So I said, well, why don't we just buy two or three and we can move them from grave to grave. I realized, oh my God, I have really been, my entire mentality has been changed by a public university. Anyways, you know, she would have none of that, thank God, and brought 35 roses. And so we had this wonderful little petite délégation. There we all are. It was a terrible day. And there's my Italian boots, which, by the way, I was able to save. And here we are. And there I am putting the roses on. I did take a picture of it. The students were so grateful to get these. And as you can imagine, we had to have a lunch afterwards, right? You can't do anything in France without having lunch. And by the time I left the station, or we left the station, there was just kisses all around. It was just a wonderful moment. So one of the great things about this project really was meeting this really small group of unassuming people in Epinal, and becoming really good friends with them. Believe me, we made the press. The Vosges Matin, okay? There we are. And this was excitement for Jocelyne, because she, you know, they're all like, they're like cheerleaders for Epinal, because it's so unknown compared to, you know, the one in Normandy, Colville-sur-Mer. And so they're like, oh, you know, Epinal, more advertisement for Epinal. You know, there's this little competition going on, which is very interesting. And I will say as well that the Army just loved this project. You know, Corinne really helped us. And this is an email that she wrote me. The Army actually has every other week somewhere in the country some kind of session for families who have missing sons, you know, that they're MIA. And it doesn't make any difference if they're, you know, it's MIA in the Korean War, the Vietnam War, all these wars. So she brought this book, you know, which of course I sent her, and she passed it around. And here are some of the responses. You know, grief seems to be such an individual and often isolating experience, but your research and the compassion that was conveyed through your narratives established connections with those who read your stories. These soldiers became more than just a name. And then Henrik's story, which I told you about, you know, that was particularly moving to one family. We are family despite the passage of time or the conflict. You touched many lives, and I truly applaud your effort. So this was an amazing feel-good project, okay? It really was in many ways. Again, I never planned it. And I have to also say that my dean and my chair have gotten so much mileage out of this, okay? Unbelievable. Anytime they have to get up in front of the alumni or the donors or the board of trustees, you know, APNL gets trotted out. So this means, of course, that next year I'm going to go in for a bigger budget. And one of the things I thought would be really cool to do, I would do two things again. Obviously, I would get in touch with Corinne earlier, but the other thing I would do is I would do much more about that part of the Battle of France, you know, in the Vosges, because I wanted to give them more context for the deaths of these men, you know, and as it was very fly-by-night. But the other thing I really want to do is I want to pick two students who do an outstanding job the team, and there were, you know, some students blow it off and some don't, and make them go give the book in Epinal, because I think that would be, and you know, Jocelyne, it loves young American men. I'm not quite sure what happened during the war, okay? And so I know that if I said I was not sending myself, but I was sending two young 20-something men, you know, she would be ecstatic, okay? So that's the project, and if you are interested, I don't feel comfortable giving out the names of these people, just, you know, their emails, but you can either come and give me your email address afterwards, or just email me at the University of Wisconsin, and we can start a conversation about this project, because I think it does have a future. And again, particularly if you're at a public university, it's really an amazing experience for the kids. Thank you.